You're damn right we start now, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. I was entirely expecting, after that just rousing story by Seth Payne on where he was in his moment with the OJ chase, for our guy Sean Pendergast to be like, and D&M Auto Leasing is where you can get your own white Bronco if you choose.
Did I fumble that one?
No, not at all. You handled it properly. I was just afraid that was where this was going to go.
Speaking of white Broncos.
Do they have a white Bronco?
I mean, they can get it for you if you want to. That's the way the D&M Auto Leasing works.
D&M will beat the bushes to find that vehicle for you.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works, ain't it, right?
That's right.
It would be a new white Bronco.
All right.
Not the old one.
Yes, that is true. They do have the new edition. Although, never mind. Whole different thing. Don't want to go down that.
Looking at it right now, D&M Leasing.
Oh, really?
Oh, white Bronco, baby.
You about to get it?
I've gotten two vehicles through there. This is not a spot, is it?
No. No. I guess I should move around. Huh?
Lopez, like, I ain't getting paid for this.
I bought two white Broncos from D&M Leasing. I'm like, there's a psychopath right there.
Like, all right, you care a little bit too much about this OJ thing. All right, let's get going here on a Wednesday in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you. Rock with us. That's John Lopez. I'm Reginald Atatula. And, of course, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos, as he always, or often at least, is. You know, sometimes he goes and reads to kids and things like that.
Yeah.
The altruistic Figgy Fig. But you can get involved with the program, and you always should get involved with the program here on the text line, 713-572-4610. Mm-hmm. And also appreciation to the Mokarem Injury Law Firm. For the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. All right, so, and here on Twitch, by the way, McFuddlebutt, that is the name that is on Twitch, do not say anything to me about it, says, Ford discontinued a Bronco line in order to get away from the optics of the OJ
But they have it back.
But yeah, they did bring
it back. They got the new ones back.
Yeah. I mean, what was that?
The Sport. I'm looking at the Sport.
Not even a half decade ago, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just less than that.
Yeah. About 2 years ago.
That's right. Sorry. Y'all are already coming in with the hilarious on the text line. I appreciate y'all. How did y'all's evenings go yesterday? Because mine was filled with a lot of sports in a way that I do not usually anticipate for this time of year.
Yeah, it was the All-Star game was passing thoughts worthy, in my view. It was a sponge worthy, as they say.
That's right.
On Seinfeld.
Shout out to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I surprised myself how much I enjoyed that.
I did as well.
Yeah.
You said passing thoughts worthy. Do we want to?
You want to do some passing thoughts?
I feel like we
want to do it right now.
Let's do it. One of these days, I'll tell you exactly what I said. But today is not that
today
day.
Today is not that day.
Today is not that day. So you had as much fun as I did. Figgy, did you watch much of this?
Yeah, I watched some of it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The All-Star game, baseball All-Star game, we can pretty much say it. I mean, it's the best All-Star game. And I don't think a lot of people would argue that too much. I only had one minor gripe, and then I'm going to get into all the good stuff. The minor gripe was, you say 8 o'clock, you say 7 o'clock Central, start the damn game at 7 o'clock. The game at 7.
Agreed. Strong agree, but I feel like that's just sports
but it's
and
not.
TV now.
Like, these days they say 8:11 kickoff. It's damn near 8:11. You know, the 12:04 kickoffs at Texans game. It's right at 12:04. They time these things out so well.
Yeah, the only things that kick off right or like start up right at on time, I think, are NFL games,
college
football games, and then international soccer.
NBA is the worst with it, man.
NBA like half hour sometimes, 45 minutes.
But baseball games, 7:05, we all know,
right? First pitch, yeah.
7:05, first pitch. It's right at 7:05.
That's fair. It is a betrayal from like their typical MO on the sport.
Yeah, so they started at 8 Eastern, 8:25 Eastern. And, you know, a lot of kids. Their only real introduction to Major League Baseball and these superstars is the All-Star game. And they, you know, they got to go to bed at 9.
But now?
Even now.
Nah,
yeah.
No.
You know what I'm saying? If they're casual fans. Yeah, if they're casual fans.
If you're a casual fan, your exposure to any sport is social media.
Well, of course. But I'm saying in terms of just like watching a game, you know, from start to finish, how many do they watch in Omaha, you know, or whatever? It's not as much. They do social media. They know players from their video games. They play a lot of video games, but like actually watching these guys in action, it's a different world for kids.
I don't know if that's how the kids are experiencing
it. I'm talking kids.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm talking kids, not high schoolers.
No, I understand.
I would like to see how kids experience stuff like this, though.
Yeah, no, it's social media. It's snippets. It's video games. But watch a ball game. You know, watch a ball game.
I mean, what age are you talking kids?
8 to 10.
Okay, are those, I'm not trying to sound old, but are those kids on social media like that?
Yes, I think so.
Eight-year-old?
We're veering down an entire different branch.
I ain't trying to get into it. I'm wondering, are they?
I think for the most part they are, which is,
I do too.
Which is terrifying in a lot of different ways. Imagine like creating things that are going to exist with you in a kind of digital profile forever.
See, I think you and I are talking about two different things. Anything. I'm talking about like, watching the ball game. You know, start it on time.
Yeah, but I think you find interest in social, and then by the time you want to watch a game, like, it's all super accessible in a way that it wasn't previously. But again, that's not here or there.
Next passing thought. Let's not bury the lead. There was a couple things that happened. A lot of things that happened before this. The swing off was fantastic. The swing off was, I didn't even know what to expect. It hadn't happened. You know, I think they started it in 2023. They decided to go with the swing off if it ended up in a tie.
Yeah, it had to happen relatively recently because this was the first one that we actually executed.
Yeah, and it gave the game some drama, some entertainment, and the right kind of finish. I thought, anyway.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
3 for 3, man.
You want to know how much of a dork I am? Above what you already know?
Launch angle.
No, not even that. See? Like,
the velocity.
Don't get ahead of me. I got different levels of dork. All right? One of my first thoughts, once they go into the swing off, how does the final ending of this get notated?
Oh, that's another passing thought. I'll skip ahead.
Okay, cool. Because I was like, will this show up as 7-6? Will this show up as 6-6? And then with parentheses, they'll do it in international soccer where it's like you win 4-3 on penalties or whatever. And I was like, or do they do this as all these home runs are runs in addition? Yeah. And so, like, ultimately 4-3, I think, was the.
Like, what were those?
Or tennis?
6-5, where it's just like
14-8.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I was like, does it end up looking like that? Again, doesn't matter to anybody. But for me, I was like, huh.
Okay. That's funny you say that, because this is my last passing thought, but we're skipping ahead because it's relevant here.
Thank you.
I looked at the box score for that very reason. What is the box? Because the box score is going to be ultimately what stays in history.
Yeah, right? And this is a game where box score actually matters in a way that it kind of doesn't in other sports.
One thing bothered me about the box score, but to answer your point, it was 6-6.
Okay.
So the box score said 6-6. This is what bothered me. There's no winning pitcher.
Oh,
I looked. I said, how do they do the winning and losing?
It was no winning pitcher or loser. It was somebody that blew a save, though.
Yeah, there was no
winning.
Yeah, that was it.
All-star games got to have a winning pitcher, man.
No, they don't. What?
Well, every baseball game has a winning pitcher.
Somebody won.
Every baseball game has a winning pitcher. But I get it.
You know who won? We won.
The people. The people won. Yeah.
The friends we made along the way.
Isn't that weird, though? No winning pitcher.
Oh, it's odd.
No losing pitcher.
It doesn't hit me that hard, though.
Yeah,
I'm just not thought tripping it was off it.
Bizarre.
Definitely.
Another passing thought here. I was like into it big time early when Ludacris and Jermaine Dupri got out there, and then they had the introductions, and they're doing their thing. And then I kind of was scrolling on social media, and Ludacris and Jermaine Dupri, it was kind of like mixed reactions to it. But I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I didn't actually listen to as much of it because I just saw that they were there performing. I think I was on the phone at this point. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, that's cool. I was a little shocked with the way that like they went real Atlanta on in a way that I don't typically imagine MLB. Like MLB tends to be like, hey, we're dropping into your city to do baseball. We're appreciating the area, but we're doing baseball.
Yeah.
In this instance, it felt like they were doing like something similar to the NBA where they're like, no, we're doing Atlanta in the baseball space a little bit.
Did you like it?
I thought it was fine, man. I ain't see like a bad thing going on with it. But I agree with Red. I do feel like they leaned into Atlanta like throughout the whole weekend. Yeah.
I will say, I don't think that this carries on next year. Like, I don't think that this is the way that they continue to go about it, which I do find to be interesting. Although, that's off of my assumption. They very well could just go, which I looked it up and I already forgot where All-Star is next year. But they could just drop into whatever city and be like, nah, we doing the same thing. Who is your go-to icon? Yeah. Let's get them up here and let's really lean into the culture.
Yeah, you'll get more of this next passing thought when we get to the question of the day. But that Hank Aaron tribute damn near choked me up. It was so cool.
Hey,
Fig. And to hear Milo Hamilton... Uh-oh. To hear Milo Hamilton again, that was pretty damn cool.
Uh-oh. I get to do a thing here. I get to be curmudgeon that corrects John Lopez in a way that he often does to others.
What's that?
That man's name is Henry Aaron. He preferred to be called Henry Aaron. Yes. He was not actually very fond of people calling him Hank.
Ooh. Hank Aaron is a common way that people describe him, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
but yeah. I mean, some of us like Henry Aaron more to respect his wishes. I don't know. That's all I'm saying.
Cal Riley didn't like Big Dumper.
But he did.
They were calling him that. They were calling him that on the broadcast.
He does now.
Another passing thought. If you didn't love the players wearing their team jerseys, I cannot help you. It was so much better.
It was fun.
It's so much better.
It looks so good. The only thing that I would go, if I wanted to be real greedy, is instead of grays, give me full color, baby.
Yeah.
Like that's just me being greedy.
Yeah.
White's grays, love it.
I never liked the grays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never liked the tan or the gray.
Colors would have been pretty sweet. Yeah,
and I already told you exactly where I'm going with that. Is I'm looking Oakland? At shortstop. Let me see that green, baby. Yeah. There's something about that vibrant green and gold, not to be, you know, riding, so to say.
Yeah.
But there's something about that particular jersey. But there's a lot of other jerseys that would have been really, really fun to see.
Another couple here for you guys. I actually was very happy for Kyle Tucker making that nice catch out there. I guess he's just one of those players that some players, when they leave, you're like, whatever. Or you don't like him. Kyle Tucker, I'm always going to like Kyle Tucker.
That's interesting. I'd be interested to see how everybody else feels about that. 713-572-4610. What is your relationship still
with
Kyle Tucker?
Yeah,
right.
Always.
Well, because he is one of those players that exists in the way that he left. I've always found it weird. Like when guys leave in like either free agency or something similar to that where they, I guess you could say, possibly played a hand, quote unquote, in their exit where, you know, he very much was going to drive a hard bargain. In that negotiation, we understood that was going to be the case, and that ultimately saw the Astros trade him. I see sometimes with a home team, which is not necessarily inherent to Houston or baseball, people not necessarily latch on in the same ways as guys that absolutely did everything they could to remain in a place, but maybe just ended up somewhere else.
Yeah. ABS system is here to stay, right?
Dude, I was amazed at how well it worked, but then also how consistently correct all the players were.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really interesting because it gives us a little bit of a dynamic outside of like the mechanics, which I think you're getting to, which I think you're right.
It's here to stay, yeah.
I think that also it does, again, show up a little bit, which of course is the baseball parlance, but really it kind of highlights, hey, man, these umps have a lot there's a lot of mistakes on the edges here. And of course, the mistakes on the edges, if you consider them the whole, are really not that much.
Mm-hmm.
But who determines how much? Like, who determines what is too much? And I guess is the question. Because there was a lot of instances that went from, oh, this is now a 1-2 count to actually, no, he's out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's here to stay. And I think that's why it's here to stay. Another couple here real quick. There's no question, right? Baseball is the best mic'd up sport. Right?
Good take.
Yeah.
Good take. I
think so.
In various different ways, because I do love like getting into basketball and getting the the interspersed cuts, or really in football where we get the mic'd up
nothing.
After.
But
I would put basketball in last place.
Yeah.
When it comes to mic'd up,
that's fair. I'm not gonna bite you on it, but I mean, I'm
baseball's
talking about
so good.
Can you give me a little bit of Clayton Kershaw?
Because
this is the thing. Mic'd up is cool with like when we get during on the Sunday night broadcast where they got the shortstop or the outfielder.
Yeah.
Dog, I was so enamored listening to a pitcher go about his work. Now, of course, this is atypical by a long stretch. But listening to Clayton Kershaw do this on the mound as he's going was really fun.
And we're actually going to get to talk baseball with Clayton. I can't believe you're doing this, Clayton.
I can't either. I'm going to try to throw some cheese real quick. Hold on.
Hold on, like you're on the phone.
I'm going to try to throw some cheese real quick. That was the Tucker catch. Yeah.
There it is. One more. Yeah, so he goes, that was sick. I love it. One point where he's like, all right, I think I'm going to throw a change up here. Let's see what Will says. Oh, no, Will wants me to throw a curveball. All right, cool.
Yeah.
And then he throws it and it gets over. He's like, oh, yeah, he's excited. For me, also, there's a little thing in there. You hear the grunt as he's I'm like, okay, as a dude who's never been a pitcher, especially not at no high level, and you really don't get to hear that up close.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, yeah, the reminder that they are generating so much like thrust and energy in that space. It was cool to kind of hear it actually happening. Like, no, it looks like they're just kind of like flailing their arm. Yeah. Like, no, this is a real generating of energy here. That's real work up there.
And Smoltz saying, throw the cutter. He goes, I don't have a cutter.
I kind of want to hear more pitchers and players like that mic'd up for the wrong reasons, though.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, sure. Of course.
Yeah. If they hit somebody by mistake or quote unquote by mistake. I just want to hear the trash talking.
Yeah. And I got a couple more we can get to.
Sure. We'll try and sprinkle this in. The final thing I'll say about the mic'd up moment, it was really cool to hear as Dave Roberts comes to get him out of there. coming in, like, and all the ball stays with you, all the guys in the infield, you know, kind of saluting him on what is going to be his final All-Star game appearance. So I thought that was kind of cool. I don't know how.
And then he says, suck it, McDumper.
I thought that was really fun. I thought it was really fun. All-Star game. Shout out to baseball giving us an All-Star game that was
worthy. Look at us breaking down an All-Star game.
Dude, that's what we're here for.
A game that don't even matter.
But shout out to MLB for giving us an All-Star game that was at least interesting enough to be worth the time on a Wednesday in this period of the summer. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, CJ Gardner-Johnson, the new safety for your Houston Texans, sat down with the Pivot Podcast. I always love this podcast because guys seem to be very open and honest. And if there's a guy that we want to hear, get into his mindset a little bit, it's CJ Gardner-Johnson. Let's hear a little bit from that next.